Hi, and welcome to Last Man Standing with me, Paul Stevenson, here live on Republic Broadcasting Network. This is Saturday, the 29th of July. I'm very glad to say the temperatures are pretty mild over here for this time of year. I remember last year it was just scorchingly hot. And it's, what, 19, 20 degrees? You wouldn't know that, of course, from our media. We are, again, indulging in their doomsday prophecies and about the end of the world, because temperatures are hot in southern Europe. But, of course, it's been revealed that these fires in Rhodes in Greece were actually arson attacks. Meanwhile, the BBC and Sky News have been coming on telling us this unequivocally as a result of climate change. And they've also been found to be, let's say, manipulating the viewers, let's say, and a little bit of leisure domain going on when it comes to the how they're measuring, because they're measuring the ground temperature, not the air temperature. And normally when we look at temperatures and we watch the news and the weather, the temperatures are actually based on the air temperature, which is like a couple of meters above the ground, basically, because it's going to be hotter on the ground. And so that added on about 6-7 degrees Celsius to some of the temperatures in Europe, because I looked. And these people, as I say, I mean, this kind of manipulation of how they're measuring it, it's just, it results in, you know, basically exaggerated temperatures. Because when I looked at the temperatures in Europe, they weren't anywhere near what our media has been telling us. And as I say, the Rhodes fires were started by arsonists. I wonder who would have, I don't know who started those fires, but I think the Climate Change Brigade would probably be chief suspects, I would think. Anyway, before I forget, do support RBN. And you can do that by sending a mail check to RBN 2251, Double Creek Drive, 302 Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And you can also call in and make a donation that way. That's 800-724-2719, extension 3. So that's 800-724-2719, extension 3. And if you just go to the website, you'll see all that. Anyway, just go to Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org, and you can see all that on there as well. If you want to call in, let me see if I can get the number. Do I remember? No, I don't. Oh, you can call in at 512-248-8252 or on toll-free 800-313-9443. The lines will be open. I'll be taking calls throughout the show if you want to call in. Again, it's 512-248-8252. 800 is the toll-free number, is 800-313-9443. So yeah, be glad to hear from you. Any questions, any comments, that'll be great. So I did a show yesterday, or the day before, was it, with Patrick Slattery, and I did mention this story here, that what many of us would have been expecting, or would have suspected, is the case anyway. But, and this is of course because of our immigration laws, basically, that incentivize these types of scumbags. But the Daily Mail here did an exclusive sort of sting story where they discovered, you know, like an undercover thing, where lawyers are charging $10,000 to make fake asylum claims. A special investigation exposes the staff at immigration law firms briefing clients on how to lie to the authorities to win the right to stay in Britain. And to basically know what to say to prevent themselves from being deported. Lawyers are charging thousands of pounds to submit false asylum and human rights claims for illegal immigrants. Staff at solicitors' firms, and it seems that this is pretty, you know, a ubiquitous corrupt phenomenon across this sector. It's not just this one firm. Staff at solicitors' firms readily agreed to help an undercover male reporter posing as an economic migrant to get refugee status. This was despite being told he had no legitimate reason to stay in the UK after arriving on a small boat. And of course, the fact that they throw away their documents should be a red flag straight away, because if you're genuinely fleeing persecution or whatever, you'd like keep your documents so you could show where you're from. But these people are obviously economic migrants. They realize we're a soft touch over here, and in they come, and they throw away their Albanian passports. Many of them are from Albania. No war there. I mean, basically anybody who thinks that, you know, they can get an easier life, they just think they can come in here, and our government facilitates it, essentially. VP Lingus, this guy, I can't even pronounce his name, he looks like he's an Arab, asked for 10,000 to, and of course these people, many of them will be Arabs, it's not their country at the end of the day, they said they don't care diluting it with even more tens of thousands of migrants, because they themselves are migrants and they've got no loyalty to the country, because they're usually second generation migrants themselves. It's the same with people we have in our parliament. It's not their country, ultimately. They've got no connection to it, really, apart from a generation or two, which is not much. And they end up, you know, like Priti Patel, and, you know, herself was a migrant from, I think, Uganda or something like that. Her family fled or left India to go, I think it was Uganda, and then there was an ethnic cleansing operation in Uganda, if I'm correct, at the time, and her family were one of them. So that's who you've got, that's who was our previous Home Secretary. And now we've got Suella Braverman as well. Again, I think only a second generation migrant. So they're not going, even if they say they do, they're not going to have the same connection to the soil. VP, and it's no coincidence they end up in these positions, VP Linga Jothi asked for 10,000 to invent a horrific backstory to use in the asylum application. This included claims of sexual torture, beatings, slave labor, false imprisonment, and death threats that left him suicidal and compelled to flee to the UK. The legal advisor promised he could get a doctor's report to back up the story and produce antidepressants to be given to the Home Office as, quote, evidence of psychological trauma. Well, I mean, the whole antidepressants thing and distribution has exploded in the last sort of 15 years. So I don't even see how that should back up torture, rape, trauma, any of that, because about half the population's on antidepressants, and they're not fleeing persecution and, you know, rape and torture and forced labor. They're so ubiquitous now. You know, if you go to the doctor for anything, they're very quick to hand these things out. God forbid you should ever feel a bit low in your mood or have some difficulties. You know, doctors. You know, but then that's another big business and a big racket as well. Anyway, at another firm, a lawyer said he would have to create the evidence to make it appear the reporter had a genuine fear. This is the undercover reporter. The reporter had a genuine fear of persecution and assassination if he returned home. How many people are actually in that position where you're going to get assassinated? I mean, these laws need to change anyway, because they, as I said to Patrick the other day, they're so outdated. They were never intended for the sort of demographic shifts, these floods from the global south into Europe. They were signed up because of the Jewish situation after World War II. They were never intended for this, and they've been hugely abused, and they cause these sort of perverse incentives that these people come here. But how many people are actually fleeing, you know, to the point of you're going to get shot when you go home? Probably zero. I remember going up to this hotel up north, and the place was just crowded with just, you know, Arab-looking people. And so I went up there, you know, I could see them, there's families running around. It was like, once you got in there, it hit you straight away. It's just like, well, who the hell are all these people? And they were all pretty well dressed, good mobile phones. And, you know, they didn't look like they were people who'd, you know, been persecuted and starved. And they all looked healthy and they all were dressed well and everything else. So I said to this guy, I said, where are you from? I said, where are you? Are you people all together? And he's, oh, yeah, I'm from Iran. I said, if you don't mind me asking, what are you doing here in the north of England? I said, you're a long way from home, my friend. And he said, we're Christians fleeing persecution. I said, really? I said, I'm a Christian as well. I said, you got any particular Bible passages you're fond of, you know, brother? Because, you know, I'm a Christian too. What type of Christian are you? And he just walked away. Silence. Nothing. Turned his back and walked off. This guy would probably be able to quote you the Quran much more easily. And anyway, you know, it's a long way from Iran. Yeah, even if it was true, you've traveled a long way. You know, are we supposed to believe there's nowhere between Iran and northern England that you might be safe? So the whole thing is a racket, and we need to just ignore the European Court of Human Rights. What are they going to do? Nothing. But if we don't ignore them, people are just going to keep flooding in here, and it's destroying the identity of the country. So I would just ignore them, but that's not going to happen. Anyway, this guy boasted a success rate of more than 90% with similar asylum cases. Okay. Now, since then, I've heard that this guy's going to, you know, lose his license to practice. What about prison? You know? Why is it only, oh, you're losing your license? Guy's probably got enough money and enough property set up where he can, you know, he's set up for the rest of his life anyway. And if he has got a 90% case rate, his files should be pulled out and we should see who he's been representing, and they should be rounded up and go through the whole process again, because those cases are not valid. So if, I don't know, if he's been seeing 100 people, there's 90 people out there, you need to go and drag back in again and say, sorry, in fact, deport them straight away, because that's illegal behavior, what they've done, and get rid of them. But that's probably not going to happen either. A third outlined the fine ingredients of an asylum case he said he would use to make it appear the reporter feared for his life in India. And again, you know, even if you are fearing for your life in India, that's not our problem. You know, I could say, I'm fleeing the UK because I spoke about some Jews of power and I'm being persecuted, I'm being thrown in prison. Where could I go? Isn't that persecution? He feared for his life in India. Okay, well, you know, go and do a self-defense course or something. I mean, just any little excuse. What's that got to do with us? This could include anti-government political allegiances. Well, again, you know, start a political party then to oppose your own thing. And if you've got some problems with it, back down. Do whatever you need to do to survive. But because he's got some, you know, anti-government political allegiances, a love affair with someone from the wrong caste or being gay, again, these should not be, you know, excuses for automatic entry in here anyway. It should be, well, you know, life's a bitch, isn't it? Well, you're going to have to change your political views, or you're going to have to do whatever you need to do. But that does not automatically mean that you're just going to come into our country. And of course, it's all BS anyway, so that's this thing is uncovering. Two said they would falsely claim the Mail's reporter was, a victim of human trafficking. So these are different lawyers at this undercover would-be, you know, asylum seeker is talking to. So two other lawyers said they would falsely claim the Mail's reporter was a victim of human trafficking who had been fleeced, betrayed, and abandoned by people smugglers. Many of the law firm staff enjoy wealth and prestige, including Mr. Lingus, or whatever his name is, who owns a multi-million pound property empire with his wife. That's what I'm saying. This guy loses his license. Big deal. Property prices, he's probably, you know, he's got a property empire. I mean, the Indians and the Arabs buy a lot of property around here, and much of it they've bought 10, 15, 20 years ago when house prices were a lot cheaper. So this guy's probably set up for the rest of his life, but he should be in prison. The idea that he can just, oh, you're going to lose your license. Like, this is criminal behavior, as far as I understand it. He drives a BMW with personalized number plates and sent his son to Eton. Yeah, these little private schools around here are basically, you know, they put their children, they've got the money, they put their children into these like posh schools over here so they have a veneer of decency in their life, and that their children, so their children are basically running around school thinking they're so privileged, and they are privileged in many ways because of the money, but their parents are all crooks. So many of them, there's a lot of Chinese, sort of Russian types, Arabs, send their children to these posh schools and second generation money, essentially. But really, it's just, you know, one generation removed from just being a bunch of gangsters, basically. It's kind of like you've got money laundering. Well, it's kind of like descendants or generation laundering. You clean up your scum by putting them into Eton School, you know, so you have a veneer of respectability and prestige. You know, I went to Eton. And then these scumbags end up in our parliaments and in our media. And, you know, they go through all the institutions and they've been through Eton and the private schools, and these are the people who end up influencing our country. Okay, we're going to get a break in about 30 seconds. And again, if you want to call in, the number is toll-free 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Okay, we'll come back to that story in, on the other side of the break.
Have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork. Raised the way nature intended.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
All right, welcome back. So I was going through this story about these crooks who call themselves lawyers getting immigrants to, and telling them to lie to get on the, you know, so they can establish themselves here. And many of the law firms that say staff enjoy wealth and prestige, including Mr. Linga Juthi, who owns a multi-million-pound property empire with his wife, drives a BMW, probably, but I'm sure he's got more BMWs and Mercedes as well, with personalized number plates. And you see these scumbags around here all the time. They've got money, but they're just scumbags. And sent his son to Eton. Eton is a well-known school where essentially aristocracy go. So now you're having these little fucking scumbags going there. It's just how far we've fallen. But while immigrants face jail for making false asylum claims, solicitors who encourage, facilitate, and profit from them merely face professional sanctions. One law firm sacked the representative the mail spoke to and closed one of its offices after we revealed our findings. It said his actions breached the law and broke the solicitor's regulation authority's code of conduct. So why not go to prison then? Why are these scumbags being allowed to live and enjoy their wealth that they've accumulated, mostly in the housing market, but also through this kind of criminal behavior? I'm going to go to the callers in a minute. We've got Mike in Kentucky and Daryl in Canada. I'm going to get to you in 2 seconds. Lawyers said they would help coach clients to make false claim asylums for the Home Office. This is all their information. One solicitor who invented a story for a reporter to use also branded Home Secretary Ciela Braverman dumb. Another firm's legal representative, who concocted a fake story for our undercover reporter, addressed the UN Human Rights Council last year and has, in interviews, berated the Home Office and immigration judges for not believing asylum claims. I wonder why. And there's some pictures here. This one of these guys is called Malik Nazar Hyatt. This is one of these guys. And then we've got Mr. Linga Jothi here. Who else have we got? There's another guy here, something Khan. They're all Muslims, Arab, Middle Eastern, probably from Pakistan. Rashid Ahmed Khan told our COVID reporter he can't help him apply for asylum if he doesn't say his life is in danger back home, and told him to lie to the Home Office and there'll be no problem. It's just... All right, Mike in Kentucky. Mike, what would you like to say? Thank you for calling in.
Well, whatever optimistic or realistic efforts people might want to undertake, I think you just cannot be ignorant of the establishment or status quo with their automated systems always looking out for problem groups or people, individuals, and the scale of it, I think, is beyond a lot of people's ability to grasp. And when you try to tell most people about it, they're like, well, I have nothing to hide. Well, you could live in a shrink-wrapped log cabin in the woods then and not worry about anything and everything being seen.
Yeah.
Everybody has something to hide, and it's pretty ridiculous the amount of snooping that's going on. I mean, collating and whatever. I just reread where the German government, after Snowden, when they wanted to have secure meetings, everybody that was going to participate had to put their phone in a metal box in another room with music playing. Then they could go down the hall to the other room where supposedly, I guess, they'd scan for bugs and made sure they could have a dang private meeting. But you try to tell people that 15, 20 years ago, when I had evidence of it in the late 90s.
They call you a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Well, I hope they are watching you, Mike. You know, I get side remarks like that.
We've been warning about, you know, I know people who have been talking about this sort of stuff's going on before. And what you get met by is, you know, you're xenophobic, far right extremism, neo Nazis, you name it, the whole nine yards, and yet, you know, this story proves it. You know, this is what's going on. But it wouldn't take a genius to work out you've got a bunch of corrupt little scumbags who've got no connection to the country are getting rich off, and a whole bunch of scumbags coming into the country.
Well, it's the insider trading that's going on, the pump and dump.
The whole thing's rotten. You know, we like
just
to
see how in their NQTEL investment arm that's steering the tech sector around. This can happen in any industry, and I think Joe Biden is right in league with as a puppet with the pump and dump that is electric cars. You think,
Mike?
About
we're going to go to break in 10 seconds. So I'll hold you over. Okay. You can finish off your point on the other side, and then I'll go to Darrell in Canada.
Sure.
Something much wiser than me is screaming out. And it's so much bigger than me, it's screaming out.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my help today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash that donate button, like Russian peacekeepers smashing through the Azov neo-Nazi terrorists in the Donbass.
I don't think you can explain politics without looking at Jewish power any more than you can explain physics without dealing with gravity.
9/11 was a jointly conducted covert operation that involved multiple states, the Saudis, the Israelis, and what you could call the deep state in the United States.
With anti-Semitic remarks.
yeah, you're jiggling juice, we used to say, the dancing Israelis.
So even the Republicans now are compromising, and they're pushing issues that are destructive to the white race.
They would always say, like, are we just going to talk about this stuff on the radio? Like, what are we going to do about it?
Either we force the democracy to work by actually getting the ballot access, getting the candidates, getting in office, getting our message out there to the people, or we expose just how undemocratic it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Thank you.
welcome back here to the Last Man Standing show with me, Paul Stevenson, and I'm with Mike in Kentucky. So go ahead, Mike, and finish up your comments, if you would, kindly, and then I'll go on to Darrell in Canada.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, you know, you mentioned something about start a political party or whatever. There's a few low-tech tricks that people could do if they want to be part of a group. If they have friends or family that's willing to go along with it, they could do some things like swap phones and swap SIM chips and strategically put their phones in metal boxes before they even go to a meeting. And they may need to enlist the services of a private investigator who has good bug sweepers. But if you look, if you study the Advanced Network Technology Catalog, there's stuff that can be turned on by remote just using radio energy. So you may scan for bugs, and if somebody's watching a meeting, they'll wait, you know, until they can turn that bug on. You are not even aware it has been remotely turned on with radio energy. So, you know, the level of protection racket that's going on with the status quo is, I won't say it's insurmountable, but when you try to tell people this sort of stuff, they don't really want to listen, or they come up with ideas that, well, if you put noise in the database, that'll just make you more of a target. It depends, you know, if out to a ring around your group, other people are doing it too, they won't know who's in the group and who's not in the group. And so you can have some chance of doing a little bit of political guerrilla warfare, you know. It's somewhat depicted in the movie Enemy of the State, where they do that. They capture the bugs, and they plant them on a congressman, and so that they will find them. shorts out the radical at the NSA that was doing all this stuff. But that, you know, that was in 1998, and that sort of thing needed to probably be done years before that, but getting people to go along and understand what's going on to try to accomplish something like that is like herding cats and you don't have any tuna. You got to provide them stuff.
Thanks very much for your call, Mike. Thank you. Darrell in Canada, what would you like to say, Darrell?
Hi, Paul. Yeah, not sure what that was all about, but have you are you familiar with the old Beverly Hillbillies sitcom there back in the? You ever watched any of that?
Yeah, I remember. I was a kid. That was a Beverly Hillbillies. Yeah, yeah.
Because there was a episode about eating there, and I remember Jed was trying to get Jethro into this on reprotting from the Drysdales into a. Into a good school in Beverly Hills, California, and the first lady said from the high society school, she asked Jed, "Has Jethro gone to Eton?" And Jed said, "Jethro went to Eton since he was a knee high to a grasshopper." So whenever I think of Eton, I always think of that.
Our parliament is full. Well, typically it has been full of Etonians. As they're known, you know, they went to Eton School. I mean, it's pretty much, if you go to Eton, you're going to end up in some sort of establishment job, whether it's in banking, whether it's in politics, whether it's somewhere high up in the media, a mixture of both of them, pretty much. You know, Johnson, he went to Eton. They all go to Eton. But, you know, now you're having these, you get a lot of these crooks coming into the country, like these guys from the Middle East, China, Africa, wherever else. They're just gangsters and their children. They got the money, so this is the new stock going through Eton now as well. So you shouldn't be surprised at all, or why so many of our politicians as well are, you know, don't have any real history in this country. You know, even including the last two home secretaries are, you know, they're foreign women from Middle East and Africa, and a mixture of Indians and Africans. I mean, you look at our prime minister, you know, same thing. The mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, a little weasel with absolutely no charisma, no intelligence, no nothing. He's just there because he's like, because of the insanity of how we go about picking. He's a Muslim, so we put him in there, you know. Anyway, sorry, I digress.
Yeah, he's about the same size as Zelensky, I would say, isn't he? Would he be? What would head to head? Who would be taller, him or Khan?
Well, if you see Zelensky with Rishi Sunak, those two guys, if you put the both of them, if they stood on top of each other, they'd probably make a reasonable sized man. But they're literally the same. They're literally the same size. They're about 3.5 foot each.
Yeah, that's what's
honestly, these people are tiny. I was just going to run something else past you. Putin speaking at the, I wanted to switch gears and get to this. Putin speaking at this African summit reasserted the position of Russia and with regards to Ukraine joining NATO. And he said of zero tolerance for it. This is of fundamental importance. Why the West began to drag Ukraine into NATO is not very clear to us, but this created, in our opinion, a fundamental threat to our security. And I was just going to read something from a quote from someone, Darrell, and see if you can guess who this would be. And he said, Ukrainian entry into NATO is the brightest of all red lines for the Russian elite. Note, not just for Putin he's talking about here, but for the Russian elite. In more than 2.5 years' conversations with Russian key players, from knuckle-draggers in the dark recesses of the Kremlin to Putin's sharpest liberal critics, I have found no one who views Ukraine's entry into NATO anything other than a direct challenge and a direct provocation to Russian security interests. Now, that was from Bill Burns, who was the U.S. ambassador to Russia under the Bush administration. And now Bill Burns is out there basically, telling everybody that Russia's, it was an unprovoked attack.
Now, to even suggest...
He's the head of the CIA, as you know, but for our listeners, in case they don't know.
Right. To even suggest this possibility, like, this was part of, that was the main topic of this NATO summit, 2 weeks ago. I mean, to even suggest that is just, it was just a complete waste of time. It's like talking about, putting a pro-Russian with missiles, let's say, in Quebec or maybe near
exactly.
Guadalajara, Mexico or something like that,
exactly.
United
well,
States. It would never
like
be allowed. This
right.
would provoke Putin to do anything he could, whether he'd have to completely mobilize the whole country of Russia to smash Ukraine every last square inch if he had to stop this. So this is 1,000% impossible under every circumstance, Russia allowing NATO to join Ukraine. Impossible.
Yeah, and we already, the West already has some of those countries, I think Romania is one of them, maybe Bulgaria, I'm not sure, but they've got nuclear weapons placed there. And this is the Cuban Missile Crisis. It was, it's famous in United States history. Well, it was a massive panic and a massive story, but it just seems that this double standard is just lost on anybody. It's just we wouldn't tolerate it in the West. The United States wouldn't tolerate it. And we know they didn't tolerate it with the Cuban Missile Crisis. So why exactly? I don't know. You see, the mindset is, but this is how childish and, odious the view is. Well, we're NATO's a defensive bloc. We're not going to threaten Putin. But those Russians, they're dodgy Russians. I mean, they were going to send those weapons into the United States. See, this is the thinking. That's the arrogance. We're good, you see. So we're not going to use weapons like that. NATO's just defending itself. But, the Soviet Union, and they were a bunch of scumbags, obviously, but, Russia's not the Soviet Union today. But still, this is the thinking. You can't get any other explanation for that double standard apart from that type of thinking.
Yeah, I mean, Russia's the ultimate boogeyman. It's like a boogeyman without a face. Or without a voice. So they don't care what they say or think or anything like that. They just blame him for everything, like Hunter Biden's laptop and everything. It's very convenient for everything. A lightning strike somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and they could blame that on the Russians, too. Everything is blamable on the Russians. It's nice going through life, the United States and the West, having to, anything that happens, just blame it on Russia. These lemmings accept it in the West. A lot of them.
Yeah, if anything happens, you can basically blame, usually you get one of sort of three or four, blame Donald Trump, blame Brexit, that's over here, blame climate change, and everything else you can just blame on the Kremlin, really. And Putin went on here and he said, we cannot accept the advance towards our borders of military infrastructure of a bloc that is de facto hostile to us. So he is reiterating, and this is what caused the war in the first place, it's insanity. They should be talking about joining NATO. The current crisis was caused by the 2014 anti-constitutional armed bloody coup in Kiev carried out with active support of the US and other Western governments. And we've got probably half of our population, or a bunch of morons, who do believe that in February last year, Putin, for his own amusement, suddenly woke up and decided, yeah, I think we're just going to invade Ukraine because we're evil. So, you know, if we're an evil country, I suppose that's what evil people do, just invade other people's countries unprovoked. And, you know, the media narrative expect, and sadly have got reason to expect, that that's an accepted narrative, that people are that ignorant, you know, that there is no history to this conflict, you know.
Right. You don't hear it too. This is the ultimate, along with the COVID situation, the vaccine, the ultimate not allowing in the Western media two sides to every story. That what you were talking about, NATO encroaching over the last 30 years after promises, the 14 or 15,000 people in the Donbass that were been bombed and killed for the last 8 years before this happened, and the coup itself, none of this stuff, you really have to dig hard to find this kind of stuff in the West. So most people don't know about it. They just think that Putin just is evil. I mean, I'm not a big Russia fan either, but I mean, or Ukraine either for that matter. I just want this to stop. But you got to look at the two sides to every story, and you're not getting it here.
No, not at all. Anyway, that was Putin speaking at the African Union peace meeting mission in St. Petersburg, because Putin has basically promised some of the poorest countries in Africa to compensate for the grain deal falling apart, and reiterated that, as usual, the West reneged on their side of the bargain, and that's why he's put an end to he hasn't signed up to this grain deal again, and they've been bombing the hell out of Odessa ever since, and it's dangerous there because they're coming through there, the Black Sea. They've basically said any ships coming through there will be viewed as hostile. So, you know, that could kick off there if you've got like a British ship or something coming in, or I don't know. This is the problem with this whole thing. It's just, it can escalate very quickly, you know?
The Russians have somewhat taken care of, it sounds like, the ports. They bombed them pretty good, so I don't even know if they're usable, even if the Ukrainians want to. But there's another two sides that didn't get told about, you know, not enough grain went to where it was supposed to go when it left Russia. Didn't go to Africa hardly, and a lot of, apparently, it sounds like a lot of, contraband and weapons were coming in the other way into Ukraine. So, again, Russia bad, using food and everything, but, you know, again, the details are left out.
Oh, yeah. Well, they flooded the European markets with that grain.
Uh-huh.
To the point that you had farmers in Europe, including in Poland and Hungary and other places, who were up in arms about it because it was putting them out of business. So this massive influx of cheap grain undercutting European farmers. And then they've got the cheek to try and spin this story to say, oh, look, they're evil Russians are weaponizing food. They're starving the poor Africans. You know, it's just like... Yeah, I think I saw somewhere as little as 3% of the grain even went to Africa. Anyway, exactly. Putin has vowed to. There was a little moment of discomfort. It was a little uncomfortable there actually, because one of the delegates, one of the black African delegates, was on the stage with Putin, and while he said he was grateful, for the grain, he said it was not enough. They wanted a ceasefire. And there was an interesting look in Putin's face, you know, but...
I saw that.
You'd think when you're just given someone, you've just promised to compensate, and they said they've had one of their biggest harvests in years, and that they can compensate for any loss of grain coming from Ukraine, and including free grain to the poorest countries in Africa. You'd think they'd have been a little bit more grateful than saying, yeah, we're grateful, but... You got to get a ceasefire going there, you know. But
right, because, yeah. Well, you know, Putin is trying to find his friends anywhere, like Africa, one place, you know. And of course, he's doing well in India and China, and the world is made up of 8 billion people, and it's not all Americans and Brits and East and Western Europeans. So he knows he's got a lot of popularity in South America too. He's popular in Central America, he's looking in the right places, and he's got a lot of friends.
Well, and this whole war, this provocation. You know, it's accelerated all that. It's accelerated and sort of, you know, sort of established in a more concrete way, you know, the ties between Russia and China and between Russia and India and between Russia and Africa. It's accelerating this whole BRICS phenomenon.
Right.
It's spectacularly backfired. Meanwhile, the Europeans, while they're not paying for it in blood, we're paying for it in inflation, and we're paying particularly in high food prices and also because of the high energy costs from the Nord Stream pipeline being blown up, both for industry and for domestic use, which we haven't really seen the full consequences yet on a domestic level yet. But over the next couple of winters, you're going to see the real problems, because there's a little bit of reserves. They were able to ride that out last year without the Nord Stream pipeline, but that's all going to go away soon. And then you're going to see some real suffering, you know, hitting Europe in the next 2 or 3 years, because that Nord Stream pipeline wasn't just supplying Germany. There was so much of it. It was so, and it was so cheap. They were able to sell it on then to other countries in Europe, you know, and Italy, Portugal, and so, and lots of countries, you know.
Yeah, and also like the Ukraine's just to stop that ammonia pipeline going through, so that's going to
affect the fertilizers,
fertilizers and stuff. Yeah.
All right, as ever, Darrell, great to speak to you, and I'll probably speak to you again soon on Richard's show, or next week we'll call in again. I'm going to go to Rick in Arizona.
All the best, thank you.
Thanks, Darrell. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, you know, I don't. Some of the oldest knowledge in the world in the art of war.
Uh huh. Have we lost Rick? Rick, are you with us? Are we going to break? Well, maybe Rick will call back in, but yeah, so that was an interesting, you know, comment from Bill Burns, which is a truthful comment from Bill Burns. So this whole idea, and now he's basically saying it's an unprovoked attack by Russia as well. It was just a flat-out lie. These people are just, it's just mendacity on steroids with this whole narrative around the origins of this conflict. And it's very, very difficult to get anybody who's brainwashed by this stuff, who are not informed, to just entertain the idea. It doesn't even mean that I'm pro-Russian. In some ways, I am pro-Russian, because Russia, in many ways, has represented to those of us in the West who've been frustrated with the criminal syndicate that essentially runs the West, that he's standing up to it. So there is some sympathy there for Putin, for sure.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Here's some interesting news. Due to all the recent claims about possible nuclear wars, viruses, solar flares, and civil unrest, people are scrambling to prepare and stockpile food. But the one thing out of reach for many is an underground bunker. Until now. Because you can now have a 3D printed underground bunker in just one day. An excavator digs a hole in your backyard, and 3DBunkers.com shows up in a small truck and sets up their 3D printer under a tent completely undetected. They can print as many rooms as you want at a fraction of the cost compared to traditional metal bunkers. 3D Bunkers uses polymer concrete, which is 5 times stronger than regular cement. YouTube 3DBunkers.com and watch the video. The creators of 3D Bunkers is looking for a business partner that can help bring this technology to the world. And we need to protect our way of life without living in fear. Contact Brad at 3DBunkers.com for more details, or visit 3DBunkers.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, did we manage to get Rick back on? Is he with us or not? Are we live again? All right. You know, in the break, I just noticed there's footage has emerged of some absolute reprobate scumbag in Italy starting one of those fires, because you can see him throwing a stone at the drone, which is filming him. Why would someone do that? I mean, it just looks like beautiful Italian countryside as well. It's just lush green. It's not burning up. There's no problem. This guy started a fire. Anyway, I think the BBC have been forced to apologize, which is a rarity, for their climate change BS about the fires in Italy that they were reporting on, because they've got footage now. This guy's starting the fire. I'm trying to see where he comes from, but I mean. Yeah, it's possible. Like I said, you'd have to say that the climate activists would be top of the list of suspects. And even though this guy doesn't look like this guy looks very downtrodden, some crappy little bike. There's a theory that this guy was paid by some climate activists. It would not surprise me. You know, they do whatever to further their agenda. And then they get these fires going, as I say, and it turns out that they're caused by arson and they're lying about the temperature. So, you know, yeah, we'll probably never find out. God knows, there's probably, you know, some of these countries have got plenty of the police on the payroll as well, and we'll probably never find out if any of that sort of stuff went on. George Soros and his Jewish brethren have got deep pockets and are well connected. So we'll probably never find out who's responsible for it. I mean, we've got footage of this guy, but I don't know. You can't really see his face. I don't know whether they followed him or not, but it's about fires in Italy. So there we are. I think we're almost out of time anyway. I will be back again on Monday at midday Central, and Beyond the Official Narrative with Richard Kerry. We'd maybe, I don't know if, I did a show with Patrick yesterday. If you haven't heard that, it was a pretty lively show. So you can, find that out as well, or you can check that out. So I think Patrick aired that yesterday. And again, just before I go, do support us. Go to the homepage, and if you want to, call in and make a donation, you can do that on 800-724-2719 extension 3. And if you can, also send a money order to RBN 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Until next week, take care and God bless.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit RepublicBroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.